Well, let's just pray as we receive the word of God this morning. Again, Father, as we come around your word today, Lord God, we know, Father, that the very substance of your word, Lord God, is powerful. Lord God, it's quick and sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, Father God, able to cut and divide asunder, Father God, even the thoughts and intents of the soul and even the heart, Lord God. And so, Lord, we thank you for its work in our life today. Lord, we thank you that we're quickened and made alive by your word today. And Lord, as always, it remains a lamp unto our feet, a guide unto our path, Father. It shows us where we are and shows us where we can go, Father. So we just commit ourselves and open our hearts to your word and to your Holy Spirit to move and minister among us today in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. We've got that right. Praise the Lord. As you can maybe remember, we began last week. If you missed that message, you can always go back up on the church website. And the church website, and download the message if you want to download it, and listen to it on an app of your choice. You can even just press play and play it straight off the website. So just know that that's available too. But we finished last week being clear, I believe, crystal clear about the certainty of our salvation. And the recognition, I just noticed that message has been coming through in so many different ways today as well, both in the worship, the songs that we've chosen, and of course even the communion message from Pastor Jess, that our salvation is not on the basis of our good works. Can I get some kind of an acknowledgement this morning? It's not on the basis of how good we've been, and we talked about it last week. Our salvation is not based on our law keeping. As ministers of reconciliation, we should all be acquainted with the righteousness, salvation, and judgment as truth that's taught in the Bible. And we need to be able to go to it and find that harmony in the word around those truths. And as Jesus taught it, as the apostles went on and taught it, and of course there's a great passage that we've seen. And we just over two, are we? Great passage that we've seen over there in John chapter 5 and verse 24. And of course, here is Jesus making it clear. Just in case we were wondering, Jesus makes it very, very clear for us. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you. He's saying, importantly, you know, that's what he's saying when he says, verily, by the way. I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. He's got it. You know, he's not hoping that he might get it. He's already got it. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus describes here the faith that saves us clearly, really crystal clearly, you know. We need to know these truths, church. You know, freely we have received, we need to be able to freely give. And you can't do that if you're not confident about the truth that you're walking in. You can't do that. Here Paul gives an understanding of where we were, and where we are now. If you remember, first man, second man, we talked about that last week. The first man, the old man that we were, and of course the new man that we are. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21 says, once you were alienated from God. That's the old man. And were hostile in your minds because of your evil deeds. What a great scripture. It tells us about that first man that we were. I was thinking last night, I started to think about that old man. I even started to sort of ponder back over parts of my life at different times. As a young man, our family experienced quite a bit of disruption. My mother, unfortunately, fell sick with cancer. And at the age of 12, going on 13, my mother passed away. And that was quite a trauma in our family. It's just my brother and I at that stage with my father. My father was alcoholic. And so some things started to really spin out of control because mum was the one that kept everything ticking along, even with an alcoholic father. And I started to think about all the places that I've lived. And the place that I'm currently living now is my 26th house. I thought about that. I thought, this is an incredible 26 moves. I think probably some people who have had some trauma can talk about. I was here last night thinking about every single move, and it's 26 of them. But, you know, in that and in those moves and in that time, I know that God was there. I know that he was faithful to me. I know that he was showing himself strong in my life. But he was bringing me to a place that I could receive him. Don't you know that he is at work even trying to pull the unbeliever into a place of relationship with him? He's at work and he is that good. And you know, we need to recognize that when we see the people that are struggling, the people that are outside of a relationship with God, God's design is for them to come in. And we need to be a people that are busy about that job. Colossians 1 verse 21 says, once you were alienated from God and were hostile in your minds and because of your evil deeds. And of course, that's the way we were living. That was me and you. And at that time, the wages of sin was death. That's what we were working for. We were working for a payday if we kept on that track. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says that. And this is a description of the person we were before we were born again. And Paul goes on and describes the person that we become. And I'm glad about that part. That's the good news, isn't it? And we look at it in verse 22. But now he has reconciled us, or reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy, unblemished, and blameless in his presence. That is how he presents us. When? Now. Because now he has reconciled us. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm reconciled to God through my Lord Jesus Christ. I walk in relationship not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. Now that's good news. We should all be sitting there going, that's the truth. And that's the truth that we need to take outside the church. Look what it says in verse 23. It's a qualifying condition to our current state of righteousness. I'll say that again. It's the qualifying condition to our current state of righteousness. If indeed you continue in your faith, established and firm. What are you continuing? Your faith. It doesn't say your works. If you indeed you continue in your law keeping, it doesn't say that. Established and firm in your faith. Not moved from the hope of the gospel you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. You know, we see that greater commitment by the Apostle Paul. He's become a servant to the gospel. You know, we have to know that we are holy, unblemished, and blameless in his sight, not by our works, but by what Jesus did for us when he became a sacrifice for us. And as ministers of reconciliation, that's the gospel we're called to take out. We represent the kingdom of God as ambassadors. And I like 2 Corinthians 5:20. It's always a great passage. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's what he did that brought us the righteousness that we enjoy. That right standing with God, not because of what we've done, but because of what he'd done. Church, we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to it. The sharing of the gospel is our job description. And when Jesus comes back, we should at least look busy. True? We should be out there looking busy. You know, at VLC, and I think I showed you a little picture there, where I was able to take one of those donated computers or laptops, managed to get at least the one, and I must send a picture to Liam as well. I was able to grab one of those and actually hand it to a man that has such a strong heart for ministry going into, among Indigenous as well. And of course, that's John Honeychurch. There's such a heart there. And I know all of you would have heard his testimony if you'd been here in the church. But he's now down there in Bible College. And, you know, one of the things that they have is a bit of a trend for how they fill the front row down there. So if there's any empty seats, it's almost like Pastor Margaret says, I don't want any empty seats on the front row. And so she has appointed people who come and bring people down and put them on the front row. You know, and Jess is going to institute that here, okay? So watch out, an appointment's about to be made. So bring in people and put them down on the front row. And, you know, I've always quietly thought in my heart, that's where the frozen chosen sit, you know. Rose and I have been talking about that because she doesn't like to be down the front. I know she sat down the front with me because I was there, okay? That's why she's done it so long here in Broome. But, you know, we don't really necessarily like, because there's no room to bring someone. And the minute you have to bring someone, you can't really sit there and say there's all this kerfuffle at the front. So we sit back and have a few chairs there. And of course, the plan is to bring someone. How many of you know that in church, the plan should be to bring someone? You know, the person that we're reaching out to, with the gospel, someone that we've been talking to about our faith in Christ, bring someone. You know, I'm ambitious not for the front row on Sundays. And when we were buying that laptop for John, I managed to go into that, what's it called, Typo? Is it a shop down there called Typo? Yeah. I managed to go in there and get him a little satchel. And the girl that was behind the counter, the shop was empty. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm just going to reach out to this girl a little bit and just talk to her about what this laptop is for. And so I almost gave John's testimony, or most of John's testimony. So this is for a guy that's, you know, he's down there in Bible College now. He's here doing Bible College and a bit of a rough life, and God's really calling him, and his heart is really turned toward God at this time. And so we're just giving him a laptop so he can do his Bible College work. And this girl just lit up, and I thought, oh, someone's on the hook, you know. See, she lit up and she started to really, it appealed to her. And I started to talk to her about, you know, what her situation was. And she talked about how she was an orphan. And you could just tell that those kind of stories about God that would come in and rescue someone really appealed to her and put a hook in her heart, you know. So I'm determined next time down in Perth, I'm going to sort of go and find a reason to be in that shop again and see if I can't get her into one of those empty seats that we save, you know, because it's just like that. It's just that type of purpose that we should have, is to reach the lost. You know, those whose God's dealing with their hearts is our job, and to get out there and reach them with the truth of the gospel. And, you know, our lives should be about demonstrating that new life in Christ. We are all ambassadors for Christ. Every single one of us. If you're born again today, God's made you an ambassador. An ambassador for heaven. You know, in the kingdom of heaven. A life that communicates the love, the faith, and the righteousness of God. Romans 14 and verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's all the do's and don'ts. It's not that. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, you know, we know what the kingdom's about. It's about those things. Ambassadors, when you find one, are representatives of their own nation. When you find one. They're not representatives of their own problems. They're representatives of where they've come from. And, ambassadors for Christ are representatives of a holy nation, all right? A separate people. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's that separation. God separated us to himself. That's what a holy nation is. And a people for his own, it says. King James says, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvellous light. Who should show forth his praises? And of course, the question is, are we? Do we spend enough time showing forth his praises? That's the question for us all. And I know I'm not out here waving, you know, the teacher's stick and saying you should do more. I'm challenging myself at this time as well. You know, I want empty seats beside me at church to fill. You know, I don't want to get caught up in that struggle of having to, look, you can't sit with me because I've got to go and sit down the front, you know. I want to have some room next to me, you know. Ambassadors for Christ are representatives of a holy nation. The word holy in that sense is the Greek word hagios, and its meaning is, it really does bring meaning to the type of nation. It means separate. We are a separate people. You know, that's why we don't act like the world. That's why we don't behave like the world. We quickly work through those areas, you know, and get to that place where we can say we're separated unto the Lord. The word also means special to the Lord. And in this holy nation, we all have a service to fulfill. We are a royal priesthood, priests both honouring and serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, in that throne room of grace where we're called to come boldly to in prayer, it's the highest level of that government. It's the highest level. We come right into the highest level. Imagine if you got yourself voted into Parliament. Just imagine that happened. You know, stranger things have happened to people. Okay? Imagine if it happened. And you were invited into a position where you could just walk straight into the Prime Minister's office at any time that you like and put forward some aspects of what you want to see done. That's our position as a part of God's holy nation. We have access into the very throne room of grace. And when you go in, there's not a big queue. It's not, you know, take a number, get in line. There's a lot of people praying at the moment. Could you please just wait? You know, and you know, we can make the mistake of thinking we're not being heard, but no, that's not how it is. When we get down on our knees and see ourselves going into the very throne room of grace, we have His undivided attention. It is so good, you know, and we ought, and as a result of that, we should pray more as a part of God's holy nation. You know, we can come boldly through prayer and fellowship. It's a place from which we receive from heaven, but also bring our requests and our supplications. You know, in the natural, when you're in a nation, the laws are different. You can go to some nations and the laws are very different. I noticed that they've got a direct flight to Singapore. Better read up on the rules, all right? I don't know if anyone else has heard about the rules in Singapore. They're pretty strict. Now, in Australia, you can spit on the ground, okay, and get away with that, mostly, okay? Pick the right place, though. But in Singapore, that'll get you in trouble. It'll get you in jail, I think, spitting. Here, the AFL footy players do it every weekend on the TV, you know. They've made it into a science, actually, the way that they, pew, 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 you know. Something about hydration, I'm not really sure, but anyway, they tend to do it. But, and as ambassadors, we live according to the laws of the holy nation. As Christians, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and our life now should be lived according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? That's the law we're called to live by according to the holy nation. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." There's that prayerful heart, you know. "Cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." It's a fairly long scripture, but verse 13. "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." If you want to know whose kingdom you're in, here's a scripture that helps us to know. This is where we are now. I've talked about those three men last week, and you'd have to get the tape to understand, but three men, the Lord gave me a vision of three men, the person we were, the person we become in Christ, and the person we're then called to grow into, mature into. And some people are still just, I'm just born again. I'm saved by faith. Others are working that out and going on to maturity. You know, I believe that we should have grace and mercy for every person at every different level. Can I get an amen this morning? Because you're going to meet people that are not at the same level of you, not at the same level of devotion, working through stuff, and we need to love on them. Amen. When Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, what was he talking about? That very truth. You know, judge not that you be not judged. And I tell you that sometimes it's a hard, it's a difficult lesson, but sometimes a gentle way is the best way. You know, coming with a, you know, when it says in Galatians 6, you know, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, you know, restore. Are you a restorer or are you a judge? Well, I know my Bible says don't be the judge, so you're going to have to be the restorer. You know, a restorer who goes in with a heart of love and with a purpose to restore those that are overtaken in a fault, a trespass, a sin. Yeah. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice it's not we who made ourselves fit. It's not us. It was him. And has delivered us from the power of darkness. Amen. Church, we never represent or communicate a truth until we have a heartfelt revelation of it. And sometimes it just takes going and mulling and spending time going over these truths to again let it sink in in our lives that God wants us living this way. And when we do, watch out. You know, watch out. You'll see the grace and the glory and the blessing just overflowing in every area. The reconciliation to God starts with translation from being dominated by the authority of darkness. When did that happen? Well, when you were born again. That's when it happened. When you came into Christ. I believe you emphasised something there this morning in the communion about being in Christ. That's where we are. That's where, you know, we're saved and we become in Christ. And God looks at us as we are in Christ. God's people are more likely to speak of the new life in Christ when they have understood what they have received and how hard it is to lose it. It's very hard to lose it. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Everyone say free. Free. Free from the law of sin and death. Amen. And you know, it's important that we unpack that little bit. And just as we close this morning, I just want to unpack that a little bit. The law of sin and death is simply put, you sin, you die. That's how it works out there in the world. You sin, you die. That's, you know, the wages of sin is what? Death. That's how it works. But we're in Christ. We've come over into Christ, and so that doesn't apply to us. And that is the good news. The law of sin and death. The death that we're speaking of is a law that has its outcome, the second death, which is spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God, which follows the great white throat judgment. That's the wages of sin. It's the second death. Hallelujah. Don't shout me down right now because this is good preaching, okay? You know, this is good. I know you're just thinking. That's what they say. I know that you're just thinking about it, but, you know, let it sink in, you know, and get excited about it. The law of the Spirit in life in Christ Jesus is a law in operation as a part of our place in the kingdom of God. His sacrifice made us free, and his sacrifice will keep us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. You know, you just think about that a little bit. It'll keep us free from the law of sin and death. We are never, if your takeaway today is this one sentence, good on you, all right? This is the one to remember. We are never saved by our sinless perfection. All right? We are never saved by our sinless perfection. We are saved by His. That's good news. I might just say hallelujah. That is such good news. I'm so glad that that news got preached today. We are never saved by our sinless perfection. We are saved by His. That is great news. You know, it just takes all the work out of it too, you know? All the hard work of trying to be the best you can be and never being able to make it because you can't. Because Jesus was the one that was going to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. He was the one that had to be sinless perfection to be able to pay the price and die, shed His blood on the cross. And so we are saved by His sinless perfection. Think, you know, of the most perfect, never does anything wrong Christian, and you'll never find one. That's the truth. You'll never find one. Because He had that role, not us. They are still the most sinless, you know, person that you could think of, the best, you know, never does anything wrong. They are still not going to heaven because of their behaviour. They may receive better rewards at the judgment seat of Christ because they, you know, because they were just always putting their heart into it, putting, you know, working away at being their best and being their best in Christ. But heaven is their inheritance because of what Jesus did on the cross, not because of what they have done on the earth. And every now and then you'll meet a well-meaning Christian who has a judgmental, critical spirit and wrong doctrine concerning salvation. That will try and get you thinking that the moment we sin, we transgress or miss it and have a failure of some kind, they believe that the law of sin and death kicks in and that the wages of that sin is death. No. Amen? No. Based on the message you're hearing today, you can say, no, actually that's not quite correct. Romans 8:3, it says this: for what the law could not do in it was weak through the flesh. You might just need to meditate on that. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. How can God's people be ministers of reconciliation that we're called to be if we think that we ourselves are not worthy of the salvation that we're called to preach? And this is the message we're called to preach. Yeah. All right? It's good news. Not bad news at all. Our salvation, our eternal life, is never based on how good we have been, but the price that He paid for us. Now that's going to shake some thinking this morning. But you know what? Every now and then, it's good to have a bit of a shake, isn't it? And just sort of, you know, again, ponder what it was that Jesus did for us. It should make us grateful and thankful. It should make us so glad that, you know, that He saw our flaw and came and did something about it. He saw our flaw. Amen. Well, here's some homework. And, of course, I'll be asking each individual next time I'm with you about this question. You better get it right, okay? What does a believer have to do to be denied by Him? Well, there you go. You're giving all the answers away, Rach. You're not allowed to do that. What does a believer have to do to be denied by Him? Okay, no one giving out the answers. Okay, everybody has to go and look for it and work it out scripturally. And next time I see you and bump into you, I'll be asking that question. All right? So there's your homework. Who loves a bit of homework? Three hands. God bless you. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning, and we're just going to dismiss. We've gone a little over time, but I just want you to note that we didn't go much over time because we were quick on a few other things. So whether it's just the economy of how we finish up. But, you know, again, we always, as we finish this last song, Goodness of God, I believe, as we finish this last song, I just want to make a quick invitation. You know, if you've come and all you want to do is you've done enough thinking and you want to do some drinking, okay, come to the altar this morning, okay? Because as I heard one good preacher say, it's not that he wants us to think, he wants us to drink. He wants us to have that encounter and with a God who comes and manifests his presence. And, you know, it's a people that are hungry for that that always receive that. And we do that down here at the altar. So, you know, we might dismiss, but just be mindful of the fact that we're praying for people down here. And even we may well be finding those that heard the gospel today for the first time and said, oh, so I just have to believe and receive. And the answer is yes. You just need to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you will be saved. That's a now thing. That's not something you put off one day when you're good enough. No, that's a now thing, okay? And it lasts longer than you walking outside and committing some type of fault or trespass. It lasts past that. That's all good news. So look, why don't we close? Father, we thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for, Lord, the clear, Lord God, crystal clear gospel, Father, that tells us that we have great hope in Christ Jesus, Lord God, that we can walk that out every day. Lord God, that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Lord God, that we're called to walk in a way that's pleasing to you, Lord God. Lord, that we're not given a license to sin, Lord God, or go out and willingly just give ourselves to lifestyles that are not becoming of you, Lord, that it's not that. But Lord God, that you deal with us all individually, Father. You deal with us all where we are. And Lord, that you're a good God. You're a God that wants us all to come, Father God, to you. Lord, and we thank you for that today. Lord, we ask your blessing upon this congregation, upon this people. And Father, thank you that you have room, Father God, for everyone that wants to come to the altar this morning, Lord God, and receive a touch from you today, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your goodness. Lord, we ask your blessing until we gather again next Sunday, Father, and all through the week, Lord God, ask your blessing. As is this people, Father, rise up as a holy nation in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. So I'll just make that invitation again. Just as we finish this song off, if you'd like to come on down the front, we'd certainly be happy to receive you. Don't race off as well. We've got morning tea waiting for us behind the servery. We'll bring that out. We'll bring some tables out, have some fellowship together. Don't rush off. And don't forget, at 4:30 down at Ganthium Point. There you go, 9 years in the making. we're having a barbecue catch-up. There'll be a sausage sizzle, some cool drinks and things. So don't come. Don't feel you have to come without anything of your own. BYO if you like, but come along and we'll have some fellowship down there, down near the sign, down near the very boundary. So drive onto the beach and you'll find us right down the end there, okay? Look for us, we'll be in a big circle singing choruses probably. All right, kumbaya. Yeah.